Over the last couple of weeks, we have looked at a couple rather obscure books that aren't looked at very often when people teach from the New Testament. We looked at Philemon 2 weeks ago, and last week we looked at Titus. This week we're going to take a step away from that, and this is the start of what is so often called Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday, and if you grew up in a very traditional church, I grew up in a really traditional church, and every Palm Sunday, I loved Palm Sunday, because on Palm Sunday you went to church and they handed out these palm leaves, and you got to, well, I mean, if you were a good kid, you got to take them home, and you'd always put them above the picture of Jesus in your house, the very white, very European-looking Jesus, who probably didn't look that way. But see, I wasn't quite as that good kid that went home and took it. I ended up having sword fights with these palm leaves with my best friends, and so I don't know that it ever really served the purpose for me that the church intended, is to remind me of what happened that week and what was going on and how that whole week started. But today we're going to talk about that a little bit and look at that. And then next week we'll talk about the resurrection and Christ's death a little bit more. But today is Palm Sunday, so I want to read from Matthew. And as Jesus was approaching Jerusalem, coming into Jerusalem for the last time, his final visit to Jerusalem before his death and resurrection, Matthew recites it this way. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on him for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And that's from Matthew. His version of the events that led up to Jesus entering the city. So I want to take you back to Jerusalem that day. And boy, how many of you have seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof? Okay, there's a scene that says a lot to me towards the end of that. As the Jews are leaving Russia, they're talking to each other about what they're going to be doing. And the one who is the Yenta, the matchmaker, they go to her and say, "Where are you going? What's next for you?" And she said, "You know how every year at Passover we say, 'Next year in Jerusalem'? Well, I'm going to Jerusalem, and so I will be there next year for Passover." And it told me that the Jews still look back, even to today, that maybe next year they will spend Passover in Jerusalem. As Jesus was approaching Jerusalem, It was the time of Passover. It was approaching the time of Passover. And so in that day, they had the same mindset as we see in the movie Fiddler on the Roof with Yenta, saying, next year in Jerusalem. Well, they were all gathering in Jerusalem. Many people throughout Israel went to Jerusalem to spend Passover, because that's where they would take the lambs to be sacrificed. That's where they would take their lambs to be sacrificed to cover their sins for one more year. They would take them to the priest at the temple, and the priest would sacrifice the lamb, or if you weren't rich enough to have a lamb, they would sacrifice a dove in its place. And so crowds gathered in Jerusalem at this time. And they didn't just come on the day of Passover. They came before. So as the week approached, as Passover approached, crowds gathered more and more. So as we see Jesus approaching Jerusalem, we realize that Jerusalem has swelled in numbers. No longer is it just the city that it was, but it has grown greatly. They estimate that probably at the time of Passover, there were somewhere at the time of Jesus, there were somewhere between 200,000 and a million people in Jerusalem. So when Jesus enters Jerusalem on the day that we call Palm Sunday, there were huge crowds there. Now, let's not forget that at this time in Israel, Israel was ruled by the Romans. And the Romans were kind of a skittish people at this point when crowds gathered, because they had had Israel under their thumb for many years. And before Israel was under the thumb of Rome, they were under the thumb of Greece. And before that, they were under the thumb of other nations, back to the point where they were under the thumb of Babylon. So the Romans knew this, and they knew that at this point in time, it was very likely that they were very dissatisfied and that uprisings could happen. Not many years before this, the Romans got nervous about what would happen at the time of Passover. And 3,000 people were murdered by the Romans to make sure that they wouldn't rise up against them in an insurrection. So here we have Jesus coming to Jerusalem, and he stops on the Mount of Olives, and he has his disciples go get a donkey for him to ride into Jerusalem. Now, for the people of Israel, this should have said something very significant about Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. It was tradition in that day for a king, if he was riding in a procession into a city, if he was coming in peace, he would ride in on a donkey. If he was coming in war, he would ride in on his war horse. Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And as Matthew tells the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, he says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. So let me take you back to where it's spoken by the prophet. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10 says, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem. And the battle bows will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea. and from the river to the end of the earth. Jesus didn't come as a warrior wanting to rise up against Rome, overthrow the Roman rule over Israel. But that's not what the people saw. The people forgot that as a king rides in on a donkey, that he rides in on peace. They were hoping for a warring king, a king that would take away the bondage that they knew under Israel and under Rome. But if they had thought back just a little bit further, even back to the time of the king, early kings of Israel, back to the time of David, they should have known this. Because as David reached his elder years, he set forth the future king to reign after him, who was Solomon. In 1 Kings 1, verses 33 through 35, David talks about setting up Solomon as king, and Solomon actually becomes king before David dies. And David said to them, 1 Kings 1, 33 through 35, "Take the Lord's servant with you, and have Solomon my son mount on my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow a trumpet and shout, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then you are to go with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have appointed him ruler over Israel and Judah." David was setting up Solomon to come as the king through peace. Not a king that was coming victorious over another king, but a king coming to reign in peace, to rule over Israel in peace. And so therefore he had Solomon ride in on his mule, not on a war horse, but on a mule. So why did the people of Israel then not realize this when Jesus rode into Jerusalem? Why didn't they see Jesus as the king that was coming in peace, a king that would bring peace to their lives? Well, let's remember what happened just before Jesus came in to Jerusalem. Just before that, Jesus had been told of his friend Lazarus being ill. His sisters came to him and said, "Jesus, Lazarus, your friend, your brother, is ill. Come and heal him." But Jesus tarried. He waited. And when he got there, Lazarus had already died. And the story of this goes as follows. Upon his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days now. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know, even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to him, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she responded. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still in the place where Mary and where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he said. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind men have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across it, the entrance, and the stone was taken away. And he said, "Take the stone away," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe that you sent me." Then he said this. Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of cloth, and the cloth wrapped around his face. And Jesus said, "Take the grave stones off him. Take the grave clothes off him." Now the significance of this to me is, as you read this story, now this isn't the first time that Jesus raised anybody from the dead. But many people had come out from Jerusalem to see Mary and Martha and to comfort them. It's only 2 miles from Jerusalem. And Jesus had come here. He waited for 4 days after Lazarus had died. The people that Jesus had risen from the dead before, often it was in a quiet home, the home of the person where they died. This particular time, it was in a very public place. And not only was it a public place, the people that Jesus had risen from the dead before, it had been very recent. In the case of the centurion's daughter, she had just died. But this time, it was 4 days. There could be no question that Lazarus was dead. There could be no question that Jesus was performing a miracle that no one else could do. Jesus came and said, "Let's roll the stone away." And what did Lazarus' sister say? "But he stinks. Don't roll the stone away." But Jesus said, "Yes, roll the stone away." And then he called Lazarus out. Now the Jews standing around, seeing what Jesus did, understood that he came from God. They understood the power that he had. Some of them understood then too, that not only did he come from God, but he and the Father were one. they understood that. These Jews that had lived under captivity for so many years, had lived under the thumb of rulers, of nations that oppressed them, desired so badly to be freed. They wanted Jesus to free them. They wanted to free them from their oppressors. That when he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, they missed the fact that he was coming in peace. They missed the fact, they missed the prophecies that spoke of Jesus coming to die for our sins. And they only saw him as coming to take away the oppression physically that they knew under the nations that had ruled over him. But this time he didn't come to defeat the nations. He came to defeat sin. And if that they only had known the scriptures better, they would have known this. What did Jesus say to them so many a year ago? You do not understand, for you do not know the scriptures. He's saying this to the Jews, the Jews who by 12 years old had memorized the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Not that they didn't know the words of the scripture. They didn't know the heart and the meaning behind it. They didn't know that Jesus was to come to save them, not from the nations that oppressed them, but he was coming to save them from their sins. So as he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, they saw him as the ruler that would come in, as the king that would come in to rid them of the oppression. They missed it. They missed why he was coming. I want to read now to you from Luke's version of this story. Because as we read from Luke, he speaks of it in just a little bit different ways. And as we read in Luke, on his arrival, I'm reading the wrong thing. So let me read the right thing. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage in Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were tying the colt, the owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their coats on the road. When he came near the place where the road went down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come when you will, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. In Luke's rendition of this story, he goes on to tell of Jesus' response as the people were crying out, Hosanna, crying out, Blessed be the name of the Lord. And as I talked about earlier, during this time approaching the Passover, the size of the city grew. Somewhere between 200,000 and 1 million people had come to the city for Passover. And the Pharisees, as they already didn't like Jesus, saw this as a threat as Jesus came towards the city, and they heard the cries, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. And they started murmuring. And they called out to Jesus, Make your disciples be quiet. And he said, But if they're quiet, even the stones will praise me for who I am. And then he stopped and looked out at the hearts of the people and realized that they had missed why he came. They had missed the whole meaning of what why he was riding on a donkey. They had missed the whole meaning of why he came to Jerusalem. He didn't come to conquer. He didn't come to throw Rome out. He came to conquer an oppression, but the oppression that he came to conquer was sin. And within a week's time, he had died and risen again. They missed it. And I'm so glad that we as believers didn't miss it. We are believers because we didn't miss it. We understand that Jesus' mission to go to Jerusalem wasn't to reign as the king on the earth, wasn't to overthrow the oppressors. It was to overthrow the oppression of sin. That we, through him, through faith, might understand, might know that conquering of the oppression of sin that Jesus did when he died on the cross. This week we celebrate, we remember what Christ did for us as we celebrate as we celebrate Palm Sunday, as we celebrate Good Friday, as we celebrate Easter. We remember that Jesus came, died on the cross for us, that our oppressor, the oppressor of sin in our lives, could be removed, that we could know him as our Savior, and by knowing him as our Savior, the sin be removed from us forever, as far as the east is from the west, and that we could know him. And that we could know the forgiveness of sin. And as he said, that we could live with him for eternity. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for coming to die for us on the cross. I thank you for the wondrous glory of who you are. That you are our King. That you came to defeat sin, that we might know you, and that we might be able to live as your righteousness because of our faith in you, because of the death that you did, you died for us, because of your blood. Lord, help us to remember this and remember you as we go about our daily lives. Not just this time of year, but every day, that we might continually remember your love for us, that we might focus on you not focusing on the things of the earth, but focusing on the things above, that we might grow in you and love you even more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.